Good morning. I tell you what, we serve a great God. We serve a good God. He's a God that loves us. And, you know, the thought that I have to share this morning is pretty simple. God wants us to know Him. He really wants us to know Him. God's intent and His purpose is, one is for us to change us into the image of His Son. But ultimately, is so that He will dwell among us unhindered. And that day's coming. That day's coming. But, you know, with the things that we face, the things we're facing now, it's easy to get our eyes off the fact that God not only has everything under control, that He is sovereign, but also that He does truly work all things together for the good of those who love Him and of those who are called according to His purpose. And, you know, I'm going to read a little bit here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, because there's a lot of different seasons and things that we go through. And all of us go through a lot in the course of our life, or most of us do. But anyway, I'm going to read this. This is the Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to read several verses. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep. A time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. And when I read this, it kind of made me chuckle. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. It means a time to hug and a time not to hug. So I guess what we're going through right now, you know, it's been before. There, at some point in history, I guess it was deemed improper to hug. But you know, the thing of it is, God's so big. He sees everything. It doesn't matter if there is even something new, He sees it in the past because He knew it was going to happen. And he is an awesome God. You know, the writer goes down here in verse 9, and he starts talking about our daily life and the toil that we experience, because we do. This life can be a toil. Anyway, what do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has placed on the human race. And the reason why that burden was placed on the human race is because we transgressed. We transgressed, really, you could say it was a law, but it was, we transgressed our relationship with Him. And when that happened in the garden, something was lost. Intimacy with God was lost. It was severed to some degree. It wasn't just unhindered. At this point, it was hindered. And yet, this is what the writer says. He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Verse 14, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will stand in awe of Him. And you know, my thoughts this week, God does want us to stand in awe of Him. He is a holy, great God. But more than that, He wants us to know Him. He wants us to spend time with Him. Verse 15. Whatever has already been, whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. Time does not control God. God controls time. And He sees everything. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And His end purpose is going to be that we dwell with Him in complete freedom, free from everything that hinders us now. And I thought about, you know, that sense of awe. And there was a couple of things I thought about. This is not going to take very long, but I thought about Moses. And, you know, Moses, his first encounter with God, it was truly an encounter. But it was just the beginning. It was just the beginning. Moses went from there to where he walked with the Lord. And, you know, but the first time he encountered God, he saw this bush that was burning It's like a shrub that was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. He thought, man, I got to check this out. So he goes over to go closer, and he gets at a certain distance, and the Lord stops and says, Moses, stop. Take off your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy ground. When we encounter God, we encounter holiness. Moses took his sandals off, and he fell on his face. But God proceeded to tell him he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And, you know, he continued his conversation with him, and he proceeded to tell him that he's going to send him back to Egypt to deliver the Israelites from the bondage of slavery. And Moses is asking him, he said, you know, if I go see him, and who do I tell him sent me? Well, what's your name? And God said this, I am who I am. You tell them that I am has sent you to them. And, you know, but that was just the beginning of Moses. That was his encounter with God. But the thing that you see in Moses' life and what's recorded in the Bible, more than a lot of the other people, you see a lot of his life. And you saw that he went through all kinds of seasons. He went through distress. He went through sadness. He went through ups and downs. But the thing that defined him was he walked with God. He heard from God. He was sensitive to God, and he could, you know, God used him to lead that many people across a vast wilderness for so many years. And it also says that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. He was the meekest man on the face of the earth because God had worked in his heart and done a work in him and prepared him to the greatest work God can do in any of us is get us to the point to where we are sensitive to him. And when that happens, we get to hear from heaven. We get to hear from the Lord himself. And when we do, not only are we changed, we've got something to give somebody else. And we've got an eternal purpose and direction. And that's what God wants for each one of us. And if you remember the account where it said that Moses would after inquiring of God, he would go out of this tent that was separate. And the people would watch him. He'd go over there and that cloud would descend. And it said God spoke with Moses face to face as a man talks with his friend. And, you know, there was something that it struck me yesterday. I was thinking about it. Something happened with Moses that's so unique. You know, there's some unique things in the Bible, but this was something else. You know, Moses was prohibited from going into the promised land, and the Lord told him that he would die in Moab. And anyway, even up to the time of his death, the Lord is talking to him. He's telling him what he's going to do, what he can expect. And this verse is from, let me find it here. This is in Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 and 6. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in Moab as the Lord had said. The Lord had told him he would die there. He did. And God buried him in Moab. God buried him. I don't know of anybody else in the Bible that the Lord actually buried. But said he buried him. You know, he knew Moses and he loved Moses. And even though Moses didn't make it to the promised land, I tell you, he's in the promised land now. But praise God, God had such a relationship with him and he with God that when he was out there by himself and he passed away, God buried him. It also says this, and God buried him in Moab in the valley opposite of Beth Peor, but to this day, no one knows where his grave is. You know, that says something. You know, that's amazing to me that the Lord would do that. And, you know, he intimately knew Moses. And he took care of him all the way to the very end, to the last thing that needed to be done on this earth. God took care of it. And, you know, but the one thing about this life and where we're at in this creation and God's purpose, when Jesus showed up, things are really starting to be fulfilled. He's going to bridge the gap. He's going to bring redemption. And that was lost in the garden. Now the Lord is going to bring back, and the purpose of him coming here was to start that process. it started way before then, but God is a mighty God, and His purposes are going to be fulfilled. And there was a portion where there was always somebody trying to find fault with Jesus. But He was talking to him about Abraham. He told him, if Abraham saw what you see, he would rejoice. They didn't like that. But He also told them, He said, before Abraham was born, I am. The great I am has showed up again in the flesh. Just what He had told Moses, He said, I am. And, you know, incidentally, you know, when Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, He right before that, He had told Peter, James, and John, He said, some of you are not going to die before you see the Lord coming in His kingdom. And it says about 6 days later, He took them up onto a high mountain. They went up, just those four went up together. But it says Jesus was transfigured in front of them. And, you know, it said His face shone brightly. His clothes were white. They were like blazing white. But it was interesting. They saw Moses and Elijah as they talked with Jesus. Jesus was not introducing to them. He already knew them. And it's just interesting that now He's talking to Moses again. It brings that up. And I don't think that's any accident. The Lord was still talking to Moses. And this relationship thing is very, very important. You know, I guess when you think about our calling and God's purpose, there is no greater purpose. And the thing about it is, when God says something's going to be fulfilled, it will be fulfilled. And God already sees it as done. And just thinking about the Lord, all that he did for the people that were present on this earth when He was working, that I am still is. And that's the thing that He wants us all to know. I am now. I am ever present. I want you to know me. I love you. I want you to come into a deeper relationship with me, to where what I share with you affects you. It has a profound impact on you and changes you. And because you're walking with me, you're walking in holiness. And when you're walking with holiness, you're walking with God. And when you walk with God, you're not just a regular human being. You're someone who's called of God and truly has a purpose. And then I tell you what, you can give an answer for the hope that's within you, because the Lord is, you know what, when we're in His presence, He said, come near to me and I'll come near to you. A lot of times the Lord's presence doesn't necessarily change the situation. But I'll tell you what, it changes us, and it changes our perspective. It changes what we're looking at. And we go from being in the doldrums to having faith and saying, praise God, there's a great God that's bigger than whatever I'm going through, or whatever season of life I'm in. God knows about it, and He's going to work that together for my good. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1:11. This talks again about the sovereignty of God, but also it affects each one of us individually, and where we fall into this thing. In Him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. If He's called us, it doesn't matter what's going on or what we're facing. That's a powerful statement. Of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. And, you know, the end game, the final product is going to be something so spectacular that, you know, it won't be able to be put into words. And there's a few verses from Romans 8, verses 19 through 21. Because what we lost in the garden, what man lost in the garden, it didn't just affect mankind. It affected the whole creation. I tell you what, God is so powerful. He has such an ability to restore and to renew that even this creation is going to be affected with what He does eventually. This is what it says. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope. The same one who subjected the creation to frustration has now going to subject it to hope. Praise God. In hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage of decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Praise God. I want to read one more passage here in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. Because, once again, what God said he's going to do, he's going to do. And it's coming. And he wants us, I tell you what, he wants us to be encouraged. Because what we've got coming, praise God. We of all people have got a reason to rejoice. This is what John says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is now among people, and he will dwell with them. Praise God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Listen to this. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Not only is he going to make everything new, but he said, write it down. You can count on it. And, I guess that was the thoughts I had this morning. God has called us to an eternal purpose. And in the end, it's that we dwell with him and he dwells with us. And that's why it's so important. Paul told Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold eternal life. This is a process as we're going through in this life. But God, I'm going to read that verse in Ephesians one more time. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. We've got every reason to rejoice. We've got everything to be thankful for. I just praise him and thank him for his great faithfulness and his promise and his purpose. Amen.